So far, we've been following the Christmas story more or less from Mary's point of view in the Gospel of Luke. But Matthew records things more or less from Joseph's point of view. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and hear the announcement to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But she had no union with him until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. As I've been thinking about what it must have been like for Joseph, I read a marvelous little piece in a book by one of my favorite authors, Max Lucado. And it kind of considers what Joseph might have been thinking from a creative point of view. And I'd like to share that with you for our message this evening. It's entitled "Limb Climber or Branch Sitter." Joseph was perched firmly on his branch in the tree. It was thick, reliable, and perfect for sitting. It was so strong that he didn't tremble when the storms came, nor did he shake when the winds blew. No, this branch was predictable and solid, and Joseph had no intention of leaving it. That is, until he was told to go out on a limb. Probably wanted to cry just like that. I don't know. It happens. Till he was told to go out on a limb. And as he sat securely on his branch, he looked up at the limb God wanted him to climb. He'd never seen one so thin. "That's no place for a man to go," he said to himself. "There's no place to sit. There's no protection from the weather. And how could you sleep dangling from that quivering twig?" He inched back a bit, leaning against the trunk, and pondered the situation. Common sense told him not to go out on a limb. Conceived by the Holy Spirit? Come on. Self-defense told him not to do it. Who will believe me? What will our families think? Convenience told him not to do it. Just when I was hoping to settle down and raise a family. Pride told him not to do it. If she expects me to buy a story like that. But God told him to do it. That's what bothered him. It bothered him because he was happy where he was. Life next to the trunk was good. His branch was big enough to allow him to sit in comfort. He was near scores of other branch sitters and had made some valid contributions to the tree community. After all, didn't he make regular visits to the sick at the North Branch Medical Center? And wasn't he the best tenor in the Treedom Singers Chorale? And what about the class he taught on religious heritage, appropriately entitled Our Family Tree? Surely God wouldn't want him to leave. He had, well, you could say he had roots here. Besides, he knew the kind of fellow that goes out on a limb. Radical, extremist, liberal, always going overboard, always stirring the leaves. Guys with their heads full of strange ideas in search of foreign fruit. Why, the stable ones are the ones who know to stay close to home and leave well enough alone. I have a feeling some of you can relate to Joseph. You know how he feels, don't you? You've been there. You're smiling because you too have been called to go out on a limb a time or two. You know the imbalance that comes from having one foot in your will and one foot in God's. You too have sunk your fingernails into the bark to get a better grip. You know too well the butterflies that swarm in the pit of your stomach when you realize changes are in the air. Perhaps changes are in the air right now. Maybe you're in the midst of a decision. It's disrupting, isn't it? You like your branch. You've grown accustomed to it and it to you. And like Joseph, you've been a pretty good branch sitter. And then you hear the call, I need you to go out on a limb and take a stand. Some of the local churches are organizing an anti-pornography campaign. They need some volunteers. Or move. Take your family and move overseas. I have a special work for you. Or forgive. It doesn't matter who hurt who first. What matters is that you go and build the bridge. Or evangelize. That new family down the block, they don't know anyone in town. Go and meet them and invite them to church. Or sacrifice. The orphanage has a mortgage payment due this month. They can't meet it. Remember the bonus you received last week? Regardless of the nature of the call, the consequences are the same. Internal civil war. Though your heart may say yes, your feet say no. Excuses blow as numerously as golden leaves in an autumn wind. That's not my talent. It's time for someone else to take charge. Not now, I'll get to it tomorrow. But eventually you're left staring at a bare tree and a hard choice. His will or yours? Joseph chose his. After all, it was the only real option. Joseph knew that the only thing worse than to venture into the unknown was the thought of denying his master. So resolute, he grasped the smaller limb. With tight lips and a determined glint in his eye, he placed one hand in front of the other until he dangled in the air with only his faith in God as a safety net. As things turned out, Joseph's fears were justified. Life wasn't as comfortable as it had been. The limb he grasped was indeed a slender one. The Messiah was to be born to Mary and raised in his home. He took cold showers for 9 months so the baby could be born of a virgin. He had to push away the sheep and clear out the cow paddy so his wife could have a place to give birth. He became a fugitive of the law. He spent 2 years trying to understand Egyptian. At times, that limb must have bounced furiously in the wind, but Joseph just shut his eyes and held on. But you can be sure of one thing. He never regretted it. Sweet was the reward for his courage. One look in the face of this heavenly toddler, and he knew he would do it again in a heartbeat. Have you been called to go out on a limb for God? You can bet it won't be easy. Limb climbing has never been easy. Ask Joseph. Or better yet, ask Jesus. He knows better than anyone else the cost of hanging from a tree. I'd like to share a song that goes right along with that. It's called Joseph's Song. As you listen to this, think about what must have been going through Joseph's mind. Song by Michael Card, Joseph's Song. Could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone, still fatherless this baby be, son of my love. Father, show me where I'd fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face, his hands so dear. When he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said,
How could it be? How could it be? How could it be? Maybe God is calling you to take a step of faith. And this evening, well, thank you. This evening, the biggest step of all is the step to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've come this evening and you've heard the stories before, but you've never actually taken that step personally to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, to offer Him change in your heart. You see, Jesus came to be our Savior. And the reason for that is because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of us need to turn or repent and turn to Him and receive God's greatest Christmas present, the first Christmas present ever. The Bible says, to as many as received Him and believed in His name, to them He gave the right to become children of God. You see, Jesus came to be the Savior. But it takes a response in your heart, a response of faith, just like Joseph and Mary, to surrender your will to His will, to accept the gift of eternal life. God offers every one of us this gift, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. Yes, we deserve judgment. We deserve to perish. But this gift of God, this indescribable gift, is not something that you work for or earn by church attendance or by good works. For it's by grace, God's gift of grace, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast trying to earn it, the Bible says. It is the gift of God. Tonight, my question to you, my challenge to you, are you ready to receive by faith this gift? I pray that God will speak to your hearts. If you've already accepted Christ into your heart, begin a new life, walking with Him, following Him, doing His will. You've already begun. But if not, tonight is the night. This Christmas can be your greatest Christmas ever. You receive this gift personally. I mean, your parents, your grandparents may already have become Christians and received the gift of salvation, but it's up to you. Each one of you. Because at the foot of that tree called Calvary, there is a present with your name on it, but you have to take it and receive it yourself by faith. You do that by praying a prayer of faith. And tonight I'm going to pray a sample, example, a model of a prayer of faith, receiving the gift of eternal life. If you would like to, feel free to pray in your heart with me as I pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for coming to earth to be one of us, to be born of us, to live among us, and yes, to die for us. That You took our sins upon You, that we might be forgiven, that we might receive grace instead of judgment, that we might receive heaven instead of hell. Lord, tonight, I ask You, forgive my sin, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come and be the leader and forgiver of my life, that I might start a new life in your grace, serving you in love and devotion. Lord Jesus, come. Emmanuel. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, perhaps for the first time, please tell me. On the way out of church, tell me. I can come sometime and pray with you. We can talk anytime. If not tonight, sometime along during the week, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose again. And He lives forever in your heart as you put your faith in Him. I'm going to ask that we turn the lights down completely. On the back of your bulletins, you have the words to Silent Night. I'd like to sing Silent Night as we share the light, as we pass the light. Before we do that, I want to have the house lights turned down. Downer. Still down. Still down. Maybe not. I don't know. I like the ambiance when the lights are out, but if it doesn't happen, that's God's plan, not mine. But let's join in singing Silent Night, and as we do, pass the light. Dip the unlit candle into the candle next to you, and as everyone stands, let's stand and do the standing. It's a whole lot safer. The ushers are going to help me with this. Jesus, the light of the world. Let's sing and let's share.
Star, lend your with the angels, let us sing. Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
And now as you go from here, go in the light of Jesus, the light of the world, and share His light in a world filled with shadows and darkness. Go and give a witness to what God has done in your life, and take this light to the world. May His peace, love, and grace be with you tonight. Merry Christmas. Amen.